Reverse engineering good prose as the key to developing a writerly ear. "Education is an admirable thing," wrote Oscar Wilde, "but it is well to remember from time to time that nothing that is worth knowing can be taught." In dark moments while writing this book, I sometimes feared that Wilde might be right. When I polled some accomplished writers about which style manuals they had consulted during their apprenticeships, the most common answer I got was, "None." Writing, they said, just came naturally to them. I'd be the last to doubt that good writers are blessed with an innate dose of fluency with syntax and memory for words. But no one is born with skills in English composition, per se. Those skills may not have come from style books, but they must have come from somewhere. That somewhere is the writing of other writers. Good writers are avid readers. They have absorbed a vast inventory of words, idioms, constructions, tropes, and rhetorical tricks, and with them a sensitivity to how they mesh and how they clash. This is the elusive ear of a skilled writer. The tacit sense of style which every honest style book, echoing Wilde, confesses cannot be explicitly taught. Biographers of great authors always try to track down the books their subjects read when they were young, because they know these sources hold the key to their development as writers. I would not have written this book if I did not believe, contra Wilde, that many principles of style really can be taught. But the starting point for becoming a good writer is to be a good reader. Writers acquire their technique by spotting, savoring, and reverse engineering examples of good prose. The goal of this chapter is to provide a glimpse of how that is done. I have picked 4 passages of 21st century prose, diverse in style and content, and will think aloud as I try to understand what makes them work. My intent is not to honor these passages as if I were bestowing a prize, nor to hold them up as models for you to emulate. It's to illustrate, via a peek into my stream of consciousness, the habit of lingering over good writing, wherever you find it, and reflecting on what makes it good. Savoring good prose is not just a more effective way to develop a writerly ear than obeying a set of commandments. It's a more inviting one. Much advice on style is stern and censorious. A recent bestseller advocated zero tolerance for errors and brandished the words horror, satanic, ghastly, and plummeting standards on its first page. The classic manuals written by starchy Englishmen and rock-ribbed Yankees try to take all the fun out of writing, grimly adjuring the writer to avoid offbeat words, figures of speech, and playful alliteration. A famous piece of advice from this school crosses the line from the grim to the infanticidal. "Whenever you feel an impulse to perpetrate a piece of exceptionally fine writing, obey it, wholeheartedly, and delete it before sending your manuscript to press. Murder your darlings." An aspiring writer could be forgiven for thinking that learning to write is like negotiating an obstacle course in boot camp, with a sergeant barking at you for every errant footfall. Why not think of it instead as a form of pleasurable mastery, like cooking or photography? Perfecting the craft is a lifelong calling, and mistakes are part of the game. Though the quest for improvement may be informed by lessons and honed by practice, it must first be kindled by a delight in the best work of the masters and a desire to approach their excellence.